Well, good morning again. It is great to be back again. I just want to say as we get going this morning how much of a privilege and an honor it's been for me to get to hang out with you again. It's been fun to be here and to walk through God's word together. It's been encouraging. Again, sorry it's just me. My family isn't here this week. Boo, I know it's awful. But it's been great for us to be back and to rekindle relationships and just spend time together with you. So I want to thank you for that. I also want to thank you just really quickly for your continued support for my work with Alpha. It's an exciting time. I've actually been getting some messages from people today that there's billboards and somebody sent a picture of a bus with Alpha on it. I shared with you a couple months ago about a big advertising campaign that's happening across the GTA for Alpha to encourage churches to run. And it's live now. So if you're in the city or if you're around the GTA area, you're going to start seeing billboards and bus stops and signs. So we're excited. So pray for us, pray for me. It's going to be a very busy season of ministry over the next few months. So we're excited for that. One of my favorite things to do as a dad is to read my kids' stories. I love it when they're like still enough for me to actually get a chance to read to them because they run around a lot. And I've learned some things. I've learned that there are some really, really good stories for kids, and there are some really terrible stories for kids. Like, I don't understand some of them. Like, an entire book about a bunny trying to find a new home. Like, just go back to your other one. Like, well, I don't understand the problem. You know, and usually, I don't know if you've had kids or if your kids are like my kids, it's the bad ones that they want to read, like, over and over and over and over. Again, I've read this 17 times today. But some of the books are fascinating, and I'm drawn into them. Like, you know, I want to know, why this bird lost his mom. Like, where did his mom go, and how could he possibly think that a big digger crane is his mother? Like, I don't get it. You know, it's a snort. I don't understand. It's not your mother. It's a snort. Or, like, why doesn't he just try the green eggs and ham? Like, why does it take so long? And then also, why are they green? Is it, like, who has anybody ever had green eggs and ham? Like, why are they green? Anyway, I don't understand it. It doesn't really matter. That's not what we're talking about this morning, but I wonder this thing. And one of the best privileges for me is I actually have some books that my kids have their books that are on their shelves, and then there's a couple shelves in the room that are like the books. Right? The special books. And they're the books that like my dad read to me. And actually I've got one book that my grandpa used to read to me all the time, and those are the books like my kids can look at, but they're not touching them. Right? Because those are my books. Like they're kids' books, but those are my kids' books. There's something interesting about that idea about a story being told from generation to generation to generation. This idea of a good story kind of transcending through time. And I can recall sitting on my grandpa's knee when he's reading me this story. And now I get the chance to read that same story to my kids. It's amazing, this idea of passing it from generation to generation. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this name of God that he speaks through space and time. And he says, this is going to be my eternal name. That I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. And what I love about it is he kind of hinges on there this idea that this is my name for all generations. That it's not just for you, and it's not just for the people that are alive now. It's for you to share with your kids, and your kids to share with their kids, and your kids' kids, kids' kids' kids. You know, let this name kind of transcend, let this story continue. And it's fascinating, we see time and time again throughout Scripture this idea of what's happening now is not just for you, it's for the generations to follow. That what's going on in your life is not just for you to understand who I am, but it's for you to now use that to communicate to those who come after you. And these stories that we've been looking through of Abraham and Isaac, and then this morning our story of Jacob, it's this idea that their stories don't just exist in a vacuum just for them in that moment, but it's so we can find our space in this grand story of what God's been doing. It's so we can realize that you and I, we both have a story to play in God's story. That as God speaks through eternity, that as he speaks through time, he hits you and he calls you to something. He calls you to himself for a reason, and you have a role to play in this story that's been going on since the dawn of time. And so this morning, what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you a story, and so I want you to settle in. You know, if you were at my house, if you were my son, you'd be sitting on my lap, we'd have a pillow, you'd have your stuffy and a bottle of water. You know, so do that, get your stuffies out if you want to, that's cool. Because I want to tell you the story of Jacob this morning. And I want you, as you hear this story, to find your place in this story, and we'll journey through this together. Before I do, let's pray, and then we'll step into this together. God, I thank you that you're here with us. I thank you that just as you were present at the dawn of creation, when you spoke the world into existence, you were present in the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those who followed them, that you're present here with us, that you are the same God, that you are consistently there as you are consistently here. And so God, help us to be aware of your presence. Help us to hear our story in Jacob's story. May we find our place in your story, in his story today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It was one of those nights. One of those nights when the coolness of the air seems to cut right through you. One of those nights when it should be peaceful and calm, but everything around you feels so far from it. It was one of those nights when all you want to do is sleep, because you know that you'll need rest for what tomorrow will bring, but your mind is too frenzied to allow your body to rest. It's one of those nights when you know that the decisions that you've made in your past are going to have the results played out in your immediate future. It's one of those nights when you feel like it's never going to end. And for that, part of you is thankful. But the rest of you is not sure how much more of this you can take. And although we've probably all had one of those nights, this night belonged to Jacob. As Jacob sat by the small fire that he had made, his mind must have been racing. One can almost imagine him reliving his life, trying to figure out what went wrong, trying to find some glimmer of hope that he could use as the events of the following day unfolded. But each new memory just drove him further and further into his grief. He played back the stories that had been told of his birth. The story goes that he had been born holding on to his twin brother's heel. Even then, he was grasping at what other people had, trying to gain position and trying to gain prestige, trying to get noticed. And because of that, he had been given his name, Jacob. Every time he heard it, every time it came out of someone's mouth, it reminded him of his reputation. You see, in his culture, names meant something. They weren't just something picked at random or something that sounded nice or flowed well with a last name, but rather they had some sort of mystic relationship. A person's name influenced them somehow. But beyond that, they told a story to those around them, and Jacob's story was one of deception and one of lies. He conspired with his mother against his father, his old, blind father. Where was the honor in that? He had cheated his brother out of his proper inheritance for a bowl of stew, no less. It's no wonder he hated him. He had swindled his father-in-law out of countless sheep and had gained his wealth through dishonest means. He could not stay where he was for the fear of his brother-in-law would for the fear of what his brother-in-law would do to him, and so once again he was without a home. He was left to wander because of his deception. It seemed that everywhere he went, everyone he interacted with, he left a wake of lies. It seems that his name had been influencing him after all. But the thing is, he knew he was meant for so much more. Like his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham, God, Jehovah himself, had spoken to him. One night as he slept, he dreamt of a stairway reaching from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. And at the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord your God, I'm the Lord, the God of your father, grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground that you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. And your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread it in all directions to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. And Jacob made a memorial at this moment and he vowed to follow God, but only if God would protect him. Only if God would provide food for him, oh, and clothes, oh, and a safe trip home. There was always a catch. There was always a stipulation. Trusting was not his strong suit. Earlier on, Jacob had tried to get some rest, maybe hoping for another dream, maybe just hoping for some peace and quiet, maybe just hoping everything would go away, even if just for a little while. You see, he knew that tomorrow he would be reunited with his brother, a meeting he was not looking forward to. After all, Esau had every right to be angry. Jacob had taken his birthright, the position of the firstborn son. He had taken it right out from under him. He'd even stolen the blessing from his father. And so fine, he could be mad. But did he need to bring an army of 400? That's what the messenger has said. Esau, your brother is coming to meet you with an army of 400 men. Needless to say, Jacob was terrified. In an attempt to appease him, he had prepared a present for his brother. Goats and sheep and camels and cows and bulls and donkeys. Perhaps Esau wouldn't be so mad at him if he saw all of the stuff that Jacob was willing to give him. He had prepared the presents and he sent them out on his way and he tried to get some rest. He tried. But how can you sleep on a night like this? It was no use. Sleep evaded him. His mind raced on and on, strategizing and planning and scheming, trying to find a way, any way, to make up for what he had done. to smooth things over, to make Esau and his 400 men just a little bit less angry when they met him the following day. But nothing came to mind. There were still too many distractions, and he needed to be alone. So during the night, Jacob got up, and he sent his two wives and his two concubines and his 11 sons across the Jabbok River. And after they were on the other side, he sent over all of his possessions. And this left Jacob all alone in his camp. Everything that defined Jacob to a watching world had been stripped away. All of the people in his life, all of the possessions, everything that made him who he was, or at least on an outward level. And so there was nothing left to distract him. And there was nothing left to distract anyone else. Maybe he thought that being alone would make things easier, that the focus he could gain would help him make sense of what was going on. But in reality, it did quite the opposite. He had been trying for so long to escape from his past, to free himself from himself. And now he was all alone with no place to hide. His mind raced even faster and faster as he huddled by the fire. What am I going to do? How am I going to get myself out of this mess? How can I undo what's already been done? Out of nowhere, a hand slapped firmly onto Jacob's shoulder. It pulled him backwards off of the rock that he was sitting on and threw him down into the dirt. In an instant, a figure was perched on his chest, trying to pin down Jacob's struggling arms, but he refused to submit so easily. He rolled to his side, and he grabbed at the man's right leg, pulling it beneath him, and the man was thrown off to his side. And now Jacob pounced on him, trying to gain leverage, but the man slipped out and, grabbing at him from behind, pushed his face into the dirt. On and on, this struggle went back and forth and forth and back, one man taking control only to have it regained by the other in an instant. This was no game of checkers played at a distance. This was no intellectual debate with one mind trying to argue the other one into submission. This was physical combat. Hand to hand, body to body, man to man, engaged in an intense struggle. One wrong move and a joint could be bent in a way that it wasn't intended. One moment of lost focus and position would be lost. This was a full-out battle of wills that required stamina and determination. It was dirty. It was sweaty. It was definitely not for the weak at heart. And you better believe Jacob wanted to win. All of the anxiety, all of the frustration that he had been feeling and had been channeling, he channeled it into this moment towards his assailant. Jacob, whose name has its implications of attacking without honor by means of treachery and deceit, was finally duking it out man to man, face to face. No lies, no games, just one will against another. And he was not going to give up without a fight. The two wrestled for hours, fueled by some internal passion, both men unwilling to quit. As the sun began to set on the horizon, they were still engrossed in combat. And it became clear to Jacob's assailant that he could not win the match, at least not on these terms. He maneuvered around Jacob's guarded position and got his hand free. And like a guided missile, he took aim at Jacob's hip, and he struck it with an incredible force. Immediately, Jacob felt his hip pop out of joint. Intense pain shot up and down his body. He hurt from everywhere all at once. An overwhelming pain, and yet still, he did not quit. Rather than recoiling, he clamps down harder on the man on top of him. For the first time in hours, a sound other than the combat of these two men pierced the night air. "Let me go," he said, in a calm, steady voice, "for it is dawn." Jacob struggled to get air. His body ached. His lungs were exhausted from sucking in air through the hours and hours of struggle. The pain in his hip was almost unbearable. But amidst it all, he was still not about to give up. He had gone through too much to back down now. "No," he panted, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." See, Jacob knew that he was at a crossroads. He was tired of being defined by his past. He no longer wanted to allow what had been to decide what would be. He must have known that there was something special about this man that he had been struggling against. There was so much power in his touch. There was so much authority in his voice. He did not want to allow this moment to slip by without having it change him. He was ready for a new start. "I will not let you go until you bless me," he said. "What's your name then?" the man asked. You can imagine his mind racing, the deceiver, the usurper, the one who grasps at heels. "Jacob," he replied with a deep sigh that began somewhere in his very core. "Your name will no longer be called Jacob," the man told him plainly. "It is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have won. In that moment, Jacob was given a new identity. He was loosed from the shackles of the past and he had been set free. Though he was not free from struggle or hardship, he now had a new perspective. He was no longer bound by his reputation as the deceiver, grasping at position and prestige through underhanded means, looking for ways to get ahead. For from now on, he would try to face things head on, with honor. Rather than looking for the easy way out, he had struggled on. He had persevered through hardships, and he had overcome. And so satisfied, Jacob released the man from his grasp amidst the intense pain from his hip, and he stumbled to his feet. He looked at the man who stood before him. Though he seemed all too familiar, Jacob wanted to be sure. "What's your name?" he asked. With a slight smile and perhaps a twinkle in his eye, the man replied, "Why do you ask?" For he knew that Jacob already had his answer. Then the man slowly turned and began to walk off into the dark of the night, disappearing from view. And Jacob did have his answer. He surveyed the ground around him, a place that had become this location of such great struggle, a place where he had been removed from all of his earthly prestige and position and power, and he had been forced to deal with his past, not in some roundabout way, but face to face. And he knew that he had not endured the struggle alone. For the first time, he began to see himself through God's eyes. For he knew that he had been given a new name, a new identity by none other than God himself. No one else could have had such authority in his voice. No one else could have made such an impact on his hip with a single touch. And as he looked around, he no longer saw rocks and dirt, but he saw a place of encounter, a place where he had come face to face with God, and yet his life had been spared. And so he named that place Peniel, meaning the face of God. And as he stood there, the first light of dawn began to crack on the horizon. In the silence, he watched, reflecting on the new day that was dawning in his own life. The time had come to make a change, to let go of what had been and to focus on what could be. As he limped forward to join his family on the other side of the river, he knew that he would be unable to forget this day. Each step would serve as a reminder to him and to all who saw him and heard of this story. And so for that, he was grateful. He would no longer be Jacob, the deceiver, because he knew that God saw him as Israel, the one who struggled with God and with men and had won. And he knew that he had made it through the night, and so now he could face the day ahead. So let me ask you, what's your name? How are you defined? Is it by your past? Are there things that you cannot move on from, hurts that are just too deep, or things that you have done that you refuse to forgive yourself for? Are there habits that have been with you for so long that you don't remember what it's like to live without them? Things that have happened to you that you just refuse to let go of? Or maybe you're defined by your possessions or by your position. Things that serve to distract both you and yourself and others from what's really going on. Smoke screens, if you will, that offer you a place to hide so you don't have to deal with reality. In those moments, and in many others, have you allowed yourself to be alone with God, however uncomfortable that might be for you? Have you sought that face-to-face encounter where it's just you and God? No distractions, no personas, just you. Have you wrestled with your true identity? Do you know how God sees you? We've talked about how we see God, but do you know how God sees you? Do you care how God sees you? And if you do, if you know, and if you care, have you actually allowed it to alter your life? Have you sought God's blessing? Not happiness, not temporal things, but his blessing. Have you sought the full force and weight of God's grace upon your life? Have you called out to him for his guidance and his direction? Are you holding on to him so tightly, refusing to let go until you know what he would have for you? Do you know the name that God has for you? And if not, seek his face. Allow him to be a part of your life. Allow yourself to be removed from distractions so that you can experience an encounter with him, so that you may be able to begin to see yourself through his eyes. And don't be afraid to get dirty, because it might get messy in the struggle. It will take time. It will take effort. It may be painful. There will be a process. What I love about this story is that even though his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, we're still told he's the God of Jacob, not the God of Israel, because it's a process. Those old parts of Jacob still hung around, but God was at work in his life, bringing restoration and bringing redemption, not leaving him who he was, but making him to be the man that he intended him to be, the one that he named him to be. And so remember that the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob is the same God who rules and reigns today, the same God who guides and guards, who provides and protects, the same God who cares and corrects and who leads and who loves. And so may you find your place in this story. May you be willing to trust and to follow, to have faith, knowing and showing what it means to be blessed, to experience the full force of God's love and his grace. And may you, as you are blessed, be a blessing to others, so that others may know the goodness of the God who loves you. The God who through light, and through God's light, may it shine out through you to the world around you. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for being here with us. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, we thank you that we can find our place in your story. We thank you that who you are in the Bible, the God that we read about, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, is our God as well. God, help us to leave this place differently. Help us to not be content with who we've been, but to strive to become who you want us to be. Help us to know that you love us deeply. And in light of that, may we be willing to change the world around us for you. God, give us courage, give us boldness. God, let us be defined by how you see us, not by how we see ourselves. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.